What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. I'm going to get at you, Troy. Welcome back to Echo Quest Super Dungeon.
I was quietly napping.
We do. We get that silence right before for the room noise, and all of a sudden people start to nod off.
So nice.
On a long day.
Troy was drooling.
So this large Irishman came and yelled in my ears.
Welcome back, everybody. Very excited to be back together again, getting ready to play a little Pathfinder 2nd Edition as we continue on our adventure.
Woo! Yippee!
This whole idea of catching up with you guys since our last session, seeing how life is with everybody who I don't see, Sydney and Kaya, enough. Hard pass, because I want to get right into the action today.
All right.
There's too much I want to do. I'm too excited. And you know what? If you want to sneak in the fun stuff that's going on in your personal life, you can do it while you tell me about your second level character. Because you guys leveled up at the end of last session. Yeah. I mean, it was I'm really excited to see how it all plays out. But we ended the session, for those that don't remember, with a... You guys managed to save, essentially, this bugbear that was living in the top of the tower.
Surprise! Saved him.
Groin.
Yes.
Groin.
Old Groiny.
Old Groiny McGee and his wife, Mrs. Groin. And he convinced you to keep to save his life, or to leave him alive, or to not kill him, I guess I should just say, for a little help, real heroes. Real heroes. real heroes. And
not all heroes wear capes.
We only took most of his stuff.
You took all of
his
stuff.
We only held him hostage, forced him into a dangerous situation.
Broke his weapons.
And then robbed him.
Right. But not only does he have his...
Where's our parade?
But not only does he have his life to show for it, he also has a good berry.
That's right. And we left
a neutral
him
one
that I sweetly left for him.
Left him some fruit.
You know what that good berry is? Priceless.
He definitely didn't check. He forgot and he smushed it and he ruined his own bed. So
I imagine every time a bugbear goes to bed, he's just like, smashes his own pillow a bunch of times. Too hard. Bye, bye, bye.
Oh, good berry stained too. I hope it wasn't a white pillowcase.
I did not see a laundromat inside this place.
No.
So he led you down here. You guys followed behind him and you came across two undead goblins, which you dispatched of extremely quickly. Cleon just what did you say last time? What baseball player did you reference? With
George Brett.
George Brett. Just George Bretted that zombie into pieces, into pussy dust.
Yeah.
And then Mordecai came down, stab, stab, and in one round manages to take out the second one. So now, as these goblins fall, you make a deal of sorts with the bugbear. We'll let you live as long as you give us your ring and you refer to yourself as a bear. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's the condition. He has to turn into a bear by the next time we see him.
That's going to be really hard, Cleon.
That's on him.
It's not my problem.
It won't happen with that attitude, Joe. It's been a lot of attitude.
I currently struggle becoming a bear.
I'm not buying it.
And at that point, you all huddle around and you see this ring in Cleon's hand, and you're invigorated with energy as you level up to second level. I want to know about second level in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, transitioning from first to second. Why don't we start with brother Mordecai Altoon?
Brother Mordecai Altoon.
Anything interesting? Anything different?
Well, you know, when I was first doing it, I was like, well, this is lame. And only because there's just not a lot of stuff. And really, there's not a lot of books for 2nd Edition.
Right. So you only have the core options, which are slim.
I think it's going to, hopefully, will get cooler as more books come out. But I don't know. I don't want to say my options were limited, but my options were pretty limited. So I got two new feats, a skill feat and a, I don't know.
What class feat?
A class feat?
Is that what it's called?
I want to make sure I'm mm-hmm. saying that mm-hmm. correctly.
Class feat? I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's a class feat.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Did you bring enough feats for the entire class?
Now, even though I'm saying it's not that great, in looking at this now, it's a lot better than I thought. So I took, for a skill feat, I took Assurance Athletics. Mm. So I can just forego rolling an athletics check to just use a 14. So that's pretty good. When it's something like, you know, I don't feel like risking this, but I know a 14 is going to be good.
It's going to be it's much higher than that.
Much higher
than 14. It's probably 17 at least right now.
I mean, I have a plus. It doesn't take into account. I have a plus 8 to athletics, but it doesn't take into account your ability modifier. So it says 14 on here.
Huh. I thought assurance was just like 10.
I thought it was just a 10.
It's just a 10.
It's 10 plus your proficiency bonus. Don't use any other bonuses, penalties, or modifiers.
Yeah, your proficiency bonus is your level plus your... Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
It's 14, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's all right. But when I know it's like, I don't want to risk this, it's a gimme shot, I'll just use that. Again, not a great feat. Now, the other one's pretty cool, Divine Grace. It's a reaction. I get a plus 2 circumstance bonus to a saving throw triggered by a spell. So I can use that every round of combat. If I just keep getting spammed by spells, I can just trigger Divine Grace, trigger Divine. But I use up my reaction, which means I can't use Retributive Strike or something else, but it's pretty great, a plus 2 to saving throw. But yeah, fuck assurance. That's lame. 14.
I know. I was thinking about it too, but I thought it was just 10 added to your.
Yeah, I was like, originally when I took it, I thought it'd be 18, but now it's just not. I knew it wouldn't be as high as 18, but I thought maybe 16. I didn't do the math. It sucks. It's stupid. I quit.
That seems so strange to me that you have to spend a feat to get. Yeah, that seems odd. I mean, obviously it levels up with you, but still at level 2, a 14, you're going to want to roll every time.
Yeah. At a plus 8.
Like basic tasks, you'll be fine. Oh, I guess that's what it's saying. You can you can perform basic tasks even in the worst circumstances.
Maybe I'll change it by the time you get through the rest of the
book. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I'm telling you, there was nothing. That's why I was like, I'll take this.
Yeah. All right, let's kick it over to Sydney. What do you got, Sid?
I got some fun stuff.
Okay.
Druid is fun. Yeah, it's not as bad as Troy's making it out to be. I was like, oh, this is cool. I got, as my class feat, Enhanced Familiar. So as everybody remembers, the fan favorite Newt, my little leashy familiar.
Some arts. There's been art. Newt's art.
That's so true. Yeah, somebody had drawn Eglidora with Newt sitting right on her shoulder, and it's so dang cute. He's holding her elf ear. Yeah, it's adorable. She's got Produce Flame properly in her hands and not lighting up a space. So I chose Enhanced Familiar because I haven't really used Newt much because he's weak. And I just don't want him to die. Like, I just don't want to put him out into combat. He can't do anything.
We have a term for that in the Glass Cannon Network.
Your animal familiar?
It's called Barry Stay.
Yeah, Barry Stay.
That term means I don't want my low-level familiar to get hurt.
I remember Barry. He died, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert. I don't know.
Yeah. I hope everybody's caught up that far. That's listening to Echo Quest.
It's quite a while ago. But yes.
So I chose this so hopefully Newt doesn't die as he grows, as Eglidora grows. But basically, you can choose some more master or familiar abilities so he can do more cool stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then what else? And with that, I also got another cantrip, another spell.
Added a new spell? Well, you just get a spells per day and you can memorize any from the list, right?
And then due to something else, I get another cantrip as well. There's some additional thing. And then for the feat, I chose natural medicine so I can apply natural cures to heal my allies.
Yes.
I'm trying to lean more into her woodland nature, and she's a very caring person. It was a difficult choice not to like stock her up with battle stuff or like roguish dedication, but that's just not who she is. She's got her familiar, she's got her nature and her medicine stuff. So I think that was a better choice.
She wants to help.
She wants to help. She wants to help, not hurt.
I love it. I love it. Kaya.
Woo. All right.
Woo.
So.
Ooh, second level sorcerer. Diabolical
second
sorcerer.
Level. Yes. I thoroughly enjoyed leveling up, although I agree that it did seem like there was not a ton of options for me. It was still like, okay. So I also got another spell, and then for my feats, I used Widen Spell. So it's basically for an extra action on any of my spells, I can increase the radius or like the line of how far it goes. So like I get an extra 5 feet or I get an extra 10 feet in my radius, which is great for like spells like Harm that I can send out in a giant radius.
Mm-hmm. That's real nice.
5 feet to a 15 foot cone or line and 10 feet to a larger cone or line effect. So that's cool, especially because when you have a lot of like 2 effect spells and you're a sorcerer standing in the back and you're like, I don't need to move anywhere.
That's
just
nice.
Having the
go
extra
further.
Distance, yeah, yeah, seems nice. And then I also chose to do, what's the actual name of it? Oh, to get my alchemical crafting. since I do crafting already. So I actually get four things in my like book of formulas that I can make now, which is great.
Nice.
So I won't just be winging it and going, I think this is an antidote. It might kill you, but here.
Drink up.
Cleon's so like, okay.
It's just aspirin and grape juice. I don't know what it'll do, but just drink it.
So that's fun too, because it's sort of, it's, you know, I have to take the time to make them, but it's essentially like four extra spells or, you
that's
know,
amazing.
Like two spells two effects. So that's pretty cool. And of course grows with me too. So I get to keep adding stuff to that.
Yeah. You could take over that little lab. That's great. Anything else?
Nope. I mean, some, cool. You know, an additional like skill, but that's about it.
Okay. What about Cleon?
Yeah, not too much. I got trained in intimidation.
Ooh, okay.
My skill feat. And then for my class feat, I took, actually it's kind of cool. I took acute vision, which while I am raging, I have dark vision.
Oh,
yeah. That's
phenomenal.
Which is fun. It reflects, I think, real life pretty well.
Yeah.
When I get, the angrier I get, the more I can see in the dark. So,
well, your senses become much more precise. That's
very true.
They get and what a perfect thing for this. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, I figured
that is ideal. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Can't see. I'm so mad. Now I can't see. Now I can't see again. I feel so angry. Oh wait, not gonna. It's a vicious cycle.
I can see this cycle happening. You guys, we left you off in the middle of a stairwell. You are about 30 feet or so beneath the landing where you first walked in, and you're still next to this humming magical source in the center pillar. And you're looking at this ring, and we left you sort of there as you feel yourself invigorated. You get these new abilities, these new powers. I'm just going to say you have them for right now, and you are able to continue on your adventure. What would you like to do while you're all standing there?
Well, so first and foremost, I realized some fun things from last time. So my Diabolical Edict is actually my focus spell, so I can use it more than once a day. I just have to refocus. So I definitely want to make sure we take the time to do that before going to fight a wizard.
Yes.
As well as side note, hero points. Yay, we got some hero points that last one as well. I got two, but I can only use one of them because one of them gets me to my full three.
Right, we kind of jumped off air quickly, obviously, but you guys did manage to knock off a couple quests, one of which was identifying Clarkosh, and then another one, which was the power beyond, which is figuring out sort of like what is beyond that door, the power beyond the door. You now see that this is some sort of magical column that is extending up above into the tower and out the roof of where Grolk was and down below into deeper where you're now 30 feet down. How far down you can't say at this point, but you now know you're looking at an emerald spire that is something separate and different from the green tower you saw outside. This green glass ruin castle that was built around it is a separate and different thing from what's inside here. You could just tell by looking at it. It's a completely different material. Now you have to decide what you want to do.
Yeah. While we have this ring out, sorry, I'm going to dive in one last second.
I was going to ask you to actually do what I think you're going to do.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do, well, both of those things, which has to do with the... I want to look at it just for society purposes as well, since that's what you did before. See if I know what it is, you know, if it has to do with him working for the wizard or something like that, if I know that. And then also use my, you know, object identification to see if I can figure out any other...
Is there an equivalent appraise skill now in second edition? What does that fall under?
You know, I'm not sure.
Because I was going to make a case for
thievery.
I would
probably fall under society.
Oh.
I would think. Or thievery. Yeah, you could do both.
Can I do? Sure. Can I try a thievery check?
Yes.
Plus five.
Okay. So you take a look at it in terms of trying to figure out how much it would be worth.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Okay.
It looks nice, though. Okay. It looks like it would be worth something, but... As far as, like, if you walked into a marketplace in Thornkeep right now, you could easily get ripped off. You know, that's just kind of where you're at. You know that it has value, but you don't know how to price it right. What else are we doing?
I'm doing the society check on it, which is a plus six.
Okay, society to get a sense of why he was wearing it, or if there's anything bugbear tradition with rings or anything like that.
That, or since we know that, you know, he's essentially like working for the wizard, if the wizard might have given it to him for any reason.
Yeah, if that seems to be something that routinely happens in these relationships. No, not that you know of. He is not married to the wizard in any way.
He's wizard married.
No, but it is a good question. You can't identify any purpose that it would have in terms of a tradition, you know what I mean? A cultural tradition in any way.
Cool. And then occultism style check.
You want to identify the magic. Okay, so for this, you are going to need to, you're going to need to do a recall knowledge. Anybody can do it, but it's going to have to be in arcana or nature.
Cool.
Oh, I wonder if we have anyone who's skilled in those things.
I can do my arcana as well, which is also
I should also say that a simple detect magic allows you to know that it is emanating magic, which then you would jump to identifying what magic it is.
Cool.
Tell me what you get.
So, I get a +2, but you said this isn't an occultism check, though.
Correct. It's nature or arcana.
So the arcana is just going to be a +6.
Okay. Arcana?
Yeah.
Arcana +6. Okay. You start to feel the magical energy, and you see Asoli closes their eyes as they focus to try to tell what sort of spell energy is reverberating off of it. And you discover that it is a ring of feather falling.
Oh,
that's why I was going to jump off that
ledge. Oh, shit.
That was nice.
You guys harmonized there a little bit.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. We were like, why would he jump? That's so dumb.
Yeah. What are you, an idiot?
Dummy.
Honestly, now I'm kind of surprised he didn't jump.
Mm-hmm.
I would have jumped.
Mm-hmm.
He must really like us. Yes. He likes us.
Yeah.
Well, I will say...
by far the best option.
I will say it takes multiple actions to get that door open and everything. And he was at the blade point of Mordecai, who could have easily attacked him if he tried anything funny. And he was very low on hit points. So there was that concern. Mm. So it is a ring of feather falling. Incredible item. It is a worn, ready for this, a little second, a dish thrown at you. It is a worn, invested level 6 item.
Ooh.
It triggers automatically if you fall more than 5 feet. You immediately gain the benefits of the spell feather fall. The item can then be reinvested with a 10-minute refocus period.
Ooh.
So as long as you don't fall twice in 10 minutes, you're fine.
You would be so careful for the next 10 minutes.
I know.
Everybody stop.
Yeah.
Stay right here.
I'm going to lie down flat on this ledge. 10 minutes.
So, yeah, you guys can determine how, you know, who's going to wear it.
Mm. Cleon really wants Isolde to take it.
Which I will do without talking to anybody else.
I have it. I took it, so I just give it right to Isolde.
Cool. I love this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give you stuff.
Does anybody have anything to say about that? Are you guys good?
No, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I'm physically the most delicate.
Yeah. You're standing there in this hall. Descends into darkness below. More steps going down. What do you do?
We don't see a door.
No door. Just more steps going down.
Let's just explore the landing.
Yeah, I want to make sure I have enough time to refocus.
Also, if we have any interest in this, because of my level 2, I can send Newt down to go look. He now has dark vision, and I can talk with him because he also has speech.
Oh, he can talk?
I think I can talk with him.
Oh.
I don't think he can talk. Let me look.
You talk in your brain?
Hold on. Maybe I have to make a character voice for Newt.
Hey, I'm a lizard. Hey.
Oh,
hey.
I'm a tree kid. What's up?
Hey, hello.
It's super
dark down
brain,
here, but I can see. All right.
This was a horrible idea.
I don't think you want to come down here.
It's a freaking mess. Where is his skill? It understands and speaks a language you know, so he can speak common.
Oh, wow.
Wait, this is so cool. I just thought
this voice.
I don't know why. Yeah, I thought it was like telepathy.
That's what it is in 5e.
Okay, yeah. But hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Newt's going to talk. Oh, what's he? Oh, I know what he's going to sound like. He's going to sound like, what's his name?
Gollum?
Babu Frick from the new Star yes! Wars movie.
Yes.
So he's just going to be like, yeah! I'm running!
Awesome.
This is the speech of a toddler. So maybe that's a bad idea. I don't know.
I like it. I love it. That's great. I'm also glad you're doing it, and I don't have to.
If it turns out to be grating, he can like go through puberty at some point.
Amazing,
and
yeah.
Can, like the voice can get
the
deeper.
Voice will change. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah,
I loosen no. his like collar on his little shirt, and he's yeah, like, "Thank like, you, that's yeah. much better."
Okay, that feels much better.
Oh no.
Okay.
So perception check on the landing. You said, Troy.
Yeah. So you guys all yeah. examine the landing. You don't see anything of interest except. Not on the landing itself, but on the column, now that you're looking and examining closer, you see that same sigil with the number one in Aslanti on that landing, and it's a little bit more vibrant than the one that you saw upstairs. Hmm. It's a little clearer, and it's emanating magic kind of out and above the column that it's on.
Did we say that we took a minute to refocus? Did you do that, Asoli? Kaya?
I just said as long as we have
it takes
spent,
10 minutes yeah, takes to, 10 to identify. Minutes, so she has to take the 10 minutes to identify. Yeah. She'll have to take another 10 minutes to refocus. So you guys would have 20 minutes on this landing just like looking around. And
could we say we did that though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
yeah.
I also refocused then. I got my good berry back.
Yeah, so there's nothing else of interest on the landing.
What do we think?
Well, we still have the dancing lights, right?
That's true, yeah.
Do you send Newt down?
What do you think? I could send Newt down. He's got dark vision. He's small. Really small.
But if he yells back, then people will know.
Well, no, he'll come back up. He'll run down, take a look around, and then tell us what he sees.
All right.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, might as well.
Might be all the last we see of him, though.
I go door. Don't say that.
Just want you to be fully prepared.
I come up with a cool freaking thing for my cool character.
I'd kill him.
Oh, my God. This is why you're not DMing. Joe, don't look at... Joe's looking at me.
Well, Jay, just, he wants you to wonder. He
Make
wants you
sure
to wonder.
Newt checks for traps.
What's Newt's... Okay. Does Newt share your perception, or how does that work?
No, I believe
crunch.
He has his own...
So that's what he sounds like.
No! Yeah. My life. My life. I'm dying. Why?
It's horrible down here.
Tell my wife I love her.
Oh my God. Newt doesn't have my perception. He only has a +4.
Oh, okay.
And mine is much better. So but you know what? I don't use Newt.
Okay.
Whatever. I didn't even want to anyway.
You can still have a conversation with
yeah,
him as
all right.
we're walking down.
Eglador reaches into her frock and pulls out Newt, and she goes, "Hello, how you feeling today, little Newtie?" And he goes, "Yeah!" And she puts him
in her frock. I was like, oh, God.
It echoes down the hall. And all of a sudden you hear like a ding, ding, ding,
ding. Oh, no.
Random clangs in the distance.
No, she just kisses him on his little tree head and
oh.
puts it back. Maybe later.
All right, what's the plan?
Cautiously walk down.
Yeah, I'll take Cleon. We'll take the lead.
Okay. And, Cleon begins walking down, and as you get 10 feet or so deeper, so not that far at all, almost as if it's a mist, you see the darkness that is along the outer wall because there's 5 feet reverberating off of the column. At the very end of that, there's this thin line of like magical darkness. You go 10 feet and almost like the clouds above or something, you descend through them, you descend past and you see that the darkness stops. Oh. And now it's clearer and this light that's reverberating is reflecting off the opposite wall, this green light, and it's the darkness effect is gone and you're wow. now descending beneath it. You continue down and now you're spiraling and you go another 10 feet and then it straightens for a bit and you leave the column. All of a sudden you continue walking and the column is now gone and now it's dark, completely dark. Mm. So you can't see anymore. You need some guidance, dancing lights or a torch or something like that.
Or I get angry.
Yeah, or you just get angry. What do you do? Stairs just keep going down.
Oh, we're still going down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is straight now, though. It's not a spiral. It's going straight down.
Oh. Can I just check as I'm going, check along the walls to make sure I'm not missing any secret doors or anything.
I'll throw up dancing lights just so we can see, yeah, like what this hallway looks like. Is it still emerald stone? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I do that.
Mordecai, what are you doing?
Just cautiously looking and watching, looking specifically for traps.
Okay. So both of you guys are searching. You are maintaining. You're not going to be able to do anything other than that.
I'm not in the front, though. I'm behind.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you're moving at a slow speed so that you can maintain and you can properly search. And Isoli, what are you doing?
I'm going to add into that searching. Better to have an additional set of eyes.
Okay. Continue down and you're running your hands along looking for seams, stuff like that, and then the stairway starts to turn. You've noticed nothing. Everything's been very plain. Stone walls. You come down and it starts to spiral again, deeper. Now you're 30 feet down, 40 feet down. As you get to 50 feet down below, you start to see there's some light emanating from a doorway at the bottom of the stair.
Open doorway?
Open door, yeah, there's not a door in it. It's just a doorway. Mm-hmm. And it opens into a larger room, and you see light emanating from it. A dull greenish light. You continue down the stairs. You guys are searching, and you haven't found any traps. Nothing dangerous. No secret doors inside the walls or anything. You come down, and you get to another landing. And you stand in this doorway, and now you're looking into a room. Let's go to the map. I'm ready for this.
No boy.
Return the map.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh. So I forgot to mention that it did widen to 10 feet wide, the stair. So it widened to 10 feet, and then you come down and you reach this landing. You guys are all moving slow, cautiously. You see you're standing in a stone-lined room. The floor is stone. The walls are stone. The ceiling is stoned. Stoned. The ceiling is like...
Cleon is stoned.
Wait a minute. I know you guys.
You ever look at your hand? I mean, like, really look at it?
You look around and you see that this light, the light that was emanating, is not really on this map, but it is this eerie, like greenish white glow that is coming from a fuzzy moss that is scattered in random parts along the floor of this place.
Oh boy.
It's thunder moss.
Yeah.
Underground thunder moss.
You hear some strange sounds, like maybe in the distance or something. You can't really identify them. Mechanically speaking, it's dim light in the room. So if you have low light vision, you're fine. If you have anything else, if you have dark vision, you're fine. If you have normal vision, you would have concealment. Like other creatures would have concealment from you, but not full concealment, like darkness. Across the room, 25, 30 feet away from where Cleon is stepping in right now, there is a door, a large stone door. Your eyes move to the left. You see another stone door, but it is slightly ajar. Mm. And then to your extreme left, as you keep turning left, 90 degrees coming right from where you are, is an alcove, 10 feet wide. It dips in 5 feet, and then it's just a stone wall. At the bottom of that alcove is a torch that is unlit. An extinguished torch is just sitting on the ground. Cleon takes all of this in, and we just see wash across the screen. Boof. Level 2. By Ed Greenwood.
Oh, Ed Greenwood.
Oh, classic.
Wow. Creator of the Forgotten Realms setting of classic Dungeons.
Welcome to your very first. Well, not your very first, but my very first. Ed Greenwood Dungeon.
You know what? Oh, Ed Greenwood, he created Forgotten Realms, and Wizards of the Coast bought it from him for, I think it was like $500.
Oh my God.
Ouch.
Yeah, and it's made like millions of dollars in the interim.
Well, Ed Greenwood wrote this level. So you come down, and this is the first thing you see. Stone door 25 feet straight across from you. To the left of that, an ajar stone door. And then a little alcove ending in a wall, just a little 10-foot alcove with an extinguished torch on the ground. What do you do?
Eglador has a weird feeling about the plants that are growing down here. Because it feels very unnatural. She has like a bad feeling about it. Doesn't seem natural. She would like to do a nature check.
Yeah. So you're going to walk up there and examine them, or you're going to wait until Cleon enters the room? Oh. You're going to go in last? You're going to go in first?
Can we see them?
This is making me think of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the room, the idol room, the tiles that were trapped were the ones that had moss on them.
Mm.
So knowing Ed Greenwood's mind the way I do, I'm just going to avoid those.
I had the same thought with the torch. I was like, somebody was there, and then they dropped the torch because they disappeared, and the torch went out.
Yeah.
They got sucked through that wall.
The wall revolved around, yeah. And their arm got stuck.
What is a candle bag?
Can I not do the check from up here? I can't see enough. I can't see close enough behind Cleon.
No, it just looks like moss.
Okay, I will come down then.
Like a what's it,
like the phosphorescent.
Yeah, phosphorescent. Yeah, exactly. That's the word.
I know your nature words.
Yeah, you really do.
What can bioluminescent Maa? What can I say?
She's a method druid. She really becomes her character.
I have a mortar and pestle with me. I'm like making stuff over here.
The bar that she bartends at is sick of it. They are over it.
30 minutes to make a single drink. I make my own bitters.
Stop muddling everything.
All right.
Could I walk down next to Cleon and get a closer look at the moss? Is that where it is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's a little further ahead, 10 feet into the room.
I'm just going to relay that to the party and see what you guys think.
We should proceed with caution. That door is ajar, and that torch is out. We are not alone.
Move your own characters on the map as you move them.
Which door is ajar? The one on the...
Square by square.
That one.
That one. Cleon is going to assiduously avoid moss.
Okay.
Could you just show us on the map where the moss would be?
It's scattered randomly throughout the room. There's not like one patch of it in the corner or something.
Okay. But we've all continued to check for traps and all this good stuff, and there's nothing here?
Yeah, I'll say whoever is searching is continually searching. Yes.
Cool. Cleon hugs the far wall.
You don't notice any traps on the floor as you go.
When he gets up to the door that's ajar, he's shaking angrily. He said, it's like, you can either be a door or a jar.
Man, he is crazy.
No, he's gonna can I look at it? Can I listen at the door, see if I can see anything through it?
Yes. What is your perception again?
It's 7, I believe.
7? Okay. Yeah. You don't hear anything besides kind of the random noise you're hearing in the distance, and you can sort of cleverly peek around the door. That'd be just fine. You see a long hallway. So I'm going to say you just kind of crack it a little bit just to peek around. You see a long hallway, again, stone on stone, that goes some 50 feet or so and ends in another door. 45 feet to be exact, ends in another stone door. To the left, you see there's an opening, like another hallway, maybe if you turn. There's something in there. Otherwise, yeah, you're looking at this long hall. So let's go back to Eglidora. So Cleon is peeking down this corridor. Eglidora is getting really, really close to the moss, and you put it on your tongue, you said, right?
That is not what I said, if I recall.
You swiftly eat it.
I think the listeners will recall.
Give me your knowledge bonus.
The nature is a +7.
+7. You see that there is nothing unnatural about this. It is a phosphorescent, luminous moss, but it is... You feel like it's getting its bioluminescence from its diet, from what it's like feeding on, and it seems to be feeding on something that looks like droppings, some sort of droppings of a creature which you are unfamiliar just by examining it.
Can I take my sickle and just cut one of the leaves off of, like, cut a stem off the moss and see, or cut it away and see if it like gets
Yeah, you cut it away and like it continues to glow in your hand.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, like squashing a lightning bug. Like
I put
it's
it
like
in
still
my hair
on you. Oh,
put it in my hair.
You put the poop moss in your hair.
Nice.
Poop moss in my hair.
Yes.
Wow.
Does it smell bad? The moss can't smell bad.
It smells like poop. But if poop doesn't smell bad to you, then put it right in your hair. No, it's it does not create a strong odor. No. In fact, I guess I should also say, environmentally speaking, as you came down and came in here, there was a coolness to the air that it was refreshing coming from upstairs. It was really hot. You've descended into the earth some 80 feet, and now it's like cooler. And the smell that you get is nothing out of the ordinary. It's kind of routine, but it's that musty, mildewy sort of damp basement smell.
I do put it in my hair.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Eggladora. Little flair.
Having fun.
Little flair for Eggie.
I like it. It looks good.
Okay, what are Brother Mordecai and Isolde doing while at the same time Cleon's peeking down the passage, Eggladora is examining and putting poop in her hair?
Yes, she is.
I want to check out this hallway, or not even hallway, this little alcove with the torch.
Okay.
Specifically the wall. I want to see if the wall moves. We'll keep you on your toes, check.
We'll keep you on your toes, check. You push it, nothing. It's just a wall.
Okay.
Snow dry wall.
Do we want that torch or anything?
Can anybody detect magic, see if it's like an ever-burning torch or something?
I can detect magic.
It wouldn't be ever-burning.
It's not. It's clearly not.
Clearly it's broken.
I should do that anyway. I cast detect magic in the whole room, in the vicinity.
You cast detect magic, and you get the sense of a strong, familiar, magical energy that feels like it's the same thing that you felt before with the column. So like it's like you're feeling that magical energy, and it's coming from sort of past Mordecai and Isolde, if you look on where I'm pinging on the map.
Towards the wall.
Yeah, it's coming through that wall.
Oh, okay. It's, I mean, it might be the shaft still like going into the earth. That might be where it is.
And maybe, yeah, it's just guarded by the wall.
Yeah.
I relay that information that it's coming from that direction.
Yeah. I will take a closer look at the torch and see if I can see or determine anything in particular.
Yeah,
about
you grab it, look it over. It is a normal torch.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not reverberating any magic. And yeah, it's just a normal torch.
I will still pocket it.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. I also want to point out, with detect magic, I can detect illusion magic. Was there any illusion magic with the wall?
Did you go over to it and examine the wall? So the problem with detect magic is, like, you're not going to just get different magical signatures when there's this real powerful one.
I see. What it does, but it does say you can choose to ignore magic you're fully aware of.
Okay, so if you choose to ignore that, you don't detect any other magic.
That's what I was asking. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's maybe go down the hallway that Cleon's already peeking down.
Okay.
We can fit 2x2.
Yeah. All right, so you look down this hallway. It's 45 feet long. As I said, there's a door at the end and another passage, it looks like, off to the left.
Cleon is going to work his way.
Iggy, do you hear anything by that door while you're there?
Huh?
I said, Iggy, do you hear anything by that door while you're there?
Oh, sorry. Let me not talk and let me listen.
There's a door at the bottom, and you are plus 6 or plus 7?
6 to perception. Or 7, sorry. Level 2.
Yeah. Yours is better than mine. That's why I asked you.
You listen at that door. You don't hear anything that you don't already hear.
Nope. Not a thing. Let's go in there.
Cleon and Mordecai, meanwhile, peek around this little alcove off to the left, and you see that it just dips in 5 feet, and it's another door.
Come on.
To your left. So you're now in a hallway where, straight ahead of you, another 20 feet, there's a door. To your left is a small 5-foot alcove and a door.
I'm kind of tempted to check that northern door. It's the first one we come to.
What do you think?
Wait, which door? Sorry.
The one that we just unveiled there at this tiny little alcove.
The one that leads back towards the center of the spire.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the magic essence. Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, Cleon steps into the alcove and listens, checks the door for traps.
Yeah, I'll slide right beside him and do the same.
You guys listen at the door. Cleon, you don't hear anything. Mordecai, you hear a hum. You hear a
familiar hum.
familiar hum.
I want to keep checking all the doors that we're passing as well for these, like, the wizard markings or sigils or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just since that seems to be a way that they're, like, letting either themselves or other people in their party know where they are or where they have been.
Yep.
So, don't know.
Yeah, if you come across that, I will let you know.
Great.
Kick the door down?
Yeah, let's beat this shit down.
Be specific. What exactly are you doing?
Why don't we try picking the lock? We've never done this before.
Is it
We didn't even try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just try the door. We'll try the door.
So Mordecai tries to open the door.
Yes.
Is unlocked. So you hear a click.
Get ready. It's clobbering time.
And you open the door.
Yeah.
And the first thing that catches your eye is a long table against the right wall as you're facing in. And on that table, you immediately jumps right out at you. Hard to miss the three rotting human corpses that are lying on the table.
Necromancy.
And remnants of what looks like a spider. Like a giant spider. Spider legs are sitting on this table as well. You see a greenish glow over the whole room, which is different than the greenish white from the moss in the room behind you. And you see that you're looking, and you push the door fully open. You see a whole room of which
fire
is plunging through it. Comes out of the ceiling and then goes through the stone floor. And you're looking at this wide open room, some 25 feet wide by 25 feet tall. Along the right side, as I said, a long wooden table. You now have a quick second to look a little closer. You see that, I mean, there's just amputated limbs and there's organs just sitting outside of the bodies. Underneath the table, you see a bucket full of reeking old blood that's just sitting
there.
Well,
they'll never keep if you don't put them in a bucket.
it's sort of a macabre scene. Pretty gross. That's what you see. This big open room. It looks like some sort of a workshop, in the basking green glow of this emerald spire in the northwest corner.
And we just fought undead goblins. Maybe there's some sort of necromancer down here experimenting, making some sort of undead goblin spider. We don't see anyone in the room, though.
No, the room is empty.
Right, let's approach cautiously. Clearly there is some sadistic person dealing with these corpses. They may be lurking nearby. And Mordecai will walk into the room. Okay. Examining the floor specifically for, like, blood tracks out of the room. Or not even blood tracks, but, like, just tracks out of the room.
Okay, so survival?
Yeah.
You go ahead and roll it.
Oh, I'm allowed to roll my own check in Second Edition.
You shouldn't even roll this one.
Took 10. I got a plus 0, so.
It's been too long.
Natty 13.
13. You don't see any tracks. There is not blood all over the floor. It's pretty contained to the bench and the bucket below.
The bucket.
Mm-hmm. But as you walk into the room, Mordecai, you step in 10 feet. And you hear a click.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
As a pressure plate.
Fuck.
As soon as you stand on it, all of you are then alerted to this incredibly loud sound of as from above you, a gigantic steel cage falls from the ceiling.
Fuck.
And crashes down. Basically, except for Isolde, there's no way they could have been in there, but whoever was right behind Mordecai,
God.
Cleon and Eglidora possibly, can also be hit by this thing. Brother Mordecai, though, is the only one in imminent danger of being within this rectangular boxed cage. So the cage, whoosh-shonk, shoof, comes falling down, and it makes an attack roll at Mordecai, 17.
Miss.
Miss. Oh. That is a Natural two, you lucky.
Wow.
But it's also going to attack Cleon and Eglador as well, as long as, unless you tell me, Eglador, that you were not following behind Mordecai when he walked into the room.
I mean, I moved
it's
my character.
Up to you.
I think, yeah, I moved my character.
And Isolde, this is going to happen before you were able to pass them, because it's the instant Mordecai walked in there. So put Isolde back in the hall there. as the cage comes down, natural one against Cleon.
Yeah.
And there's one for the kids, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Oh man! All right, so you dodge out of the way of that one, and then the same thing comes down in Eggy. Of course, hits Eggy. Of course, it does.
Stuff from the sky is not my friend.
Every single time.
Her.
All right, so you immediately take 6 points of damage as this steel shears against the side of your head and just boom gives you a nasty hit. And now, Mordecai, I need you to make a reflex save.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll use my divine... This isn't a spell, right? So I can't use my divine grace.
Correct.
All right, so straight up reflex, 11.
11. 11! Clang! He dodges out of the way of the metal as it slams down, but unfortunately finds himself stuck inside of the cage.
Oh, damn.
Now, also in the cage with him, weirdly hanging from a leather thong that is hung from the ceiling, is a skeleton.
Oh, no.
That is hanging from this leather strap.
Oh.
And when the cage hits the ground, gong, it looks up at you and reaches up with this scimitar to try to hack you to pieces.
Oh my God.
As it pulls
like
out of its leather thong. Everybody roll for initiative.
Oh my God.
Oh man, this is an important initiative. Oh, that is cool.
Isn't that fucking awesome?
That's pretty cool.
You know, we were being so cautious, and I was just like, let's just keep going through. This isn't Tomb of Horrors, but like, you just can't. You have to be overcautious every time.
Yeah.
Damn you, Greenwood!
It's a classic Greenwoodian dungeon.
Oh, boy. All right.
What are we adding to this time? Is this perception still on our initiative?
Yeah, unless you're doing something different, you tell me.
Great.
But if you were just, you know, keeping an eye out for danger, then
apparently not very
initiative.
Well, now that you're caught in the cage, oh, by the way, look out, there's a cage.
Mordecai, what did you get?
17.
Okay, Cleon.
Wait, excuse me.
What do you do if you're doing your activity while you're searching is keeping it real? I've just been keeping it real. Yeah, what do I roll for that?
Wisdom check.
Well, I'll just go ahead and use my perception. 15.
15. Isolde?
21.
Oh, there you go.
I don't think Isolde has ever gotten.
Man, she's just crushing the initiative, yeah.
Crushing it. Eglodora.
This is my last one, was a nat one.
I added vibing because I got hit in the head, so I think Eglodora's vibing, and I got a 22.
Wow. 22?
Yeah.
Wow.
I added perception.
Wow.
That is incredible. Well done. All right. So this thing clangs down, and it looks like this skeleton that's about to attack Mordecai is attempting to get out of this leather thong, and you guys are so fast. Eglodora can act in a quick round.
How heavy does the cage look?
Like very heavy.
Oh, very heavy. Okay, yeah. Not something I could lift. All right.
Well, I mean, if you were super, super strong, you could lift it. It's liftable. It's liftable.
Strength is not my strong suit. I'm not going to try. I think that'd be a waste of a round. Instead, I am going to cast Acid Splash on the skeleton.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh, okay. Acid Splash on the Skelly. Is that an attack roll?
That is an attack roll, and that was a natural 19 on the die.
Whoa!
So I assume I hit. Plus 6. Plus 7 now.
That is a very important difference.
Is it
6 or is it 7?
It's 7.
Because 7 is a crit.
Oh, yeah!
Yes.
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, nice.
Critical threat. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. It is not. It's not because it's going to have too much cover from the cage and Mordecai you're shooting past.
Freaking liar.
So, yeah. My apologize.
Bring me back down. No, that's all right.
Yeah, but it is a hit, nonetheless.
I feel like you already said it, and so it needs to stay.
Yeah, fair enough. But I got to get the realness of the situation back in. There's a lot of stuff blocking you.
No, you're right. It would be through the cage, a little bit difficult. So that's going to be a 4+1 splash acid damage.
5 acid damage.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. All right. You see this thing. It's hurt. It's Oli.
Oh, my goodness. I'm already next. This is fabulous. Well, I guess my first question is, can I sneak by these guys since I'm still outside? Or can I?
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
You can walk past your allies, yes.
Great. I'm going to go ahead and sneak around in here then.
Okay.
Gosh, I am not going to be that useful at helping get you out of this cage. So... Because I already know most of my shit doesn't work on him because he has no brain. He's just a skeleton. So the only thing I can really do is produce flame, which I know isn't going to work that well, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway at
okay.
the skeleton.
All right, trying to shoot it through the cage bars at this skeleton.
Oh,
go
yes.
ahead, give it a shot.
No, because that is a 3.
Oh, 3 on the die.
3 on the die will not hit.
No, it won't. All right, so this fire hits the side and it just gets tangled up in the bars. And you see the flames lick up and down the bars for a second and then vanish. The skeleton is able to act. It shimmies itself out of this leather thong and then swings a scimitar at... what's his name?
Brother Mordecai Antoon.
Brother Mordecai Antoony. That is a 17 to hit.
Yes.
And then he swings the second time in frustration. That is an 18 to hit.
Also a miss.
So he misses and misses. Mordecai, too badass. It shears off of his Auroran armor. And now it is Mordecai's turn.
All right. So, Brother Mordecai is going to, first action, reach out and touch the skeleton, lay on hands. So, it will take 1d6 damage and has to attempt a basic fortitude save. If it fails the save, it also takes a -2 status penalty to AC for one round, but I cannot for the life of me find the DC of the save.
So it's your spell DC.
Yeah, and it's not...
Your class DC.
It's not on Hero Lab, so I haven't done the dirty work of figuring out what
it's
it is.
It's going to be, it's 10 plus your proficiency, which is trained, +2, plus your level, plus your ability modifier.
What a pain
so,
in the ass.
So it's 4 plus your, what requisite ability is it? Is it charisma?
So,
which is what, +4?
+2.
So it's 16.
It's a 14, so it's a +2.
So it's DC 16.
DC 16? All right, yeah. So roll a...
DC 16, fortitude, fail, not critical fail.
Nice.
You know, it's interesting. It says base bonus +4, character level +2, trained modifier +2. So it would probably be an 18, no? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Is it trained bonus +2, character level +2?
And then base bonus +4. But I don't know what the base bonus is.
I don't know either, but it's a failure in either case, and it's not a crit fail in either case.
All right, so anyways, it's going to be 2 points of damage, but it takes a -2 to AC. And then, I mean, God, I got a piercing weapon, so I am just going to free action drop the weapon and start punching this dude.
Okay.
Doing some bludgy damn. First attack, natural one.
Okay, all right. I'm still on this mode until I can get my proper crit cards, crit fumble cards. So 24 or less on the D100, and something bad happens. No, you're good. You are good. So you just miss.
Just miss, okay. All right, so then I'm going to try again. Obviously, this is at a -2 to try and do lethal damage. Very low chance to hit. 13.
No, that's a miss.
Oh, excuse me. 14.
And it has a -2 to its AC?
Yes.
Then that is a hit.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, all right, not bad. Let's see if I can do, 6 points of damage, bludge lethal.
So yeah, bludge lethal, bam! You hit it right in the solar plexus there, and the skeleton shatters.
Hey. Oh, nice.
To pieces,
nice.
Crumbles to the ground, and it is Cleon's turn.
So there's nothing other.
You don't see anything other, but you're still in encounter mode. This cage has fallen and now Mordecai is in it.
I'm going to try to lift the cage up, like throw it over.
Okay.
To free my friend.
All right, so you reach down.
Hey, brother.
Athletics check.
Oh, that's a good skill for me.
I was going
to
say, can we assist as well?
Can we aid?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, you can. Great. Well, actually, this is in combat rounds, yeah. So you have to use an action during your turn to do that.
Oh, yeah. 26.
26. You are able to start lifting the cage off awesome. Of the ground. You're like, and it is enough for Mordecai to sneak out should he want to on his turn. You're holding it there.
I don't know.
So you have dropped your weapon. Because you have to use two hands for this. Your weapon is on the ground and you lift this cage and then you see the bones start to rumble and rattle and they slide across the floor to the central spire. And then outside of it, you see this green energy start to knit the bones back together.
Man.
As the skeleton fully reassembles and is standing at the base of the column.
Oh my God.
Egaladora, it's your turn.
Okay.
Round two.
Oh, dang it. Is that the proper placement for the skeleton on the map?
Why don't you just give me a second?
Is that the proper placement of the skeleton on the map?
Sorry, you did such wonderful word storytelling that I looked on the map and I was like, that's not what Joe said.
It is. Yep, there cool. It is.
I can still reach it. So I am going to again cast Acid Splash because I know that's somewhat effective.
Well, you kind of want to get yourself into position. I mean, he's going to have massive bonuses because you're shooting through the entire cage, like both sides.
Oh, because the cage is there. Okay, yeah. So you know what?
I'm sorry. I never marked that on your map.
No, that's okay.
My apologies. Go ahead, do your thing.
The
cage is 10 feet by 10 feet.
I'm going to move to... this is better. I am going to move kind of next to Mordecai. Oh, no, it's still technically through the cage, isn't that?
Yeah.
All right, hold on, let me recount.
And through both sides of the cage, so it's just...
All right.
Yeah, there you go. Now you got a clear shot. So Egaladora moves past the cage and gets a clear shot from 15 feet away on this scaly.
Further into the room. Dangerous, but I got to do it. That is a 19.
19 is a hit.
Nice.
And then that's only a 3 acid damage.
3 acid damage. Okay.
All right, chip away.
Isoli, it's your turn. You also now have a clear look at this from the other side of the cage, from the other side of the cage, you have a clear shot 15 feet away.
Cool. I am going to go ahead and do my produce flame again and shoot it over on this guy.
Okay.
We'll see if I can hit. 16.
16 is a hit.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, I know it doesn't do a lot of damage. So.
How much does it do? It does 1d4 plus your what? Your requisite ability modifier?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So go ahead and roll it.
Nope. And that was a 1, so it's going to be 2 points of damage.
2 points of damage. You get the sense the fire did no damage to it.
Oh.
Sort of like licked off of
gross.
It. Nothing
oh, no.
happens. It looks right across at you. Chomping jaws and charges down, not mechanically, just regularly, at Isoli, who just shot fire at it. Charges down to Isoli. Cleon, you see this. She is now right in the line of this thing. It's going to run up. It's going to take a swing with a scimitar. Oh, that is a 26 to hit. Is that a crit?
That is a crit.
Oh no.
Just barely, but that is a crit.
Critical threat. Okay, not too shabby. That's 14 points of damage.
Oh, ow.
Jeepers. And then it'll come back across for the final killing blow! 14 to hit. That's a miss, right?
That's a miss, yeah.
Yeah. So it's second swing.
For a second, my heart thought you said 14 points of damage, and yes, I was like oh, no, that's damn it, that hurt. No, that's a miss.
Comes back across and misses Mordecai. In the cage still, but can walk out. Cleon is, arms are shaking, he's holding it up. Why are you still standing there?
I'm going to wait one more round.
Oh, no.
All right, so it reformed on the outside of the cage.
Exactly.
So Brother Mordecai will... am I small enough to fit in that little space that's half space, half Emerald Spire?
Yes.
It doesn't really matter. You know what? I'm going to first move action, get out of the cage.
Okay.
So Cleon can drop it. And then
I'm just going to step right next to it and punch it.
Okay.
I forgot I don't have my Rensir anymore. At a minus two, won't matter when I hit a nat 20, though, yeah, right?
It's every diamond
Let's
nat
see
20.
It. That's kind of, oh, man, it's really, that lately they've so all close. Been cracked. Come on. Oh. Damn it. It doesn't have the AC penalties anymore, so that 13 miss.
13 miss.
And then come on here. This is the nat 20 on the second row. No, it's
stop calling your shots. It's not working.
Miss and miss. When it works.
Miss, miss. It'll Cleon, you have the cage in your hands.
All right, so I drop the cage.
So badass. He just lifted that freaking cage.
Yeah, it's like veins like bursting from his arms and his neck. It's, ah.
That is a DC 25 athletics check.
Oh, wow.
To lift that thing up. So
wow.
Well done.
Is it free to drop the cage?
Yes, free okay, to
so
drop
the
cage.
Drops the cage. He's going to pick up his club.
Yep.
With his first action. I wasn't going to rage, but now that he heard Isolde, he almost involuntarily rages.
Okay.
And then he's going to take a swing.
Okay.
With his enragement.
It's going to get a bonus from the cage.
Right.
Just around a little bit of a corner of the cage.
That is... Wow, that was pretty good.
You're fine then, I think.
Probably pretty good. That is a... 22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay.
Cleon.
And
you brought the perfect blunt instruments for this sort of thing.
8 points of damage.
Eight
on the
points
die.
Of damage. And that is enough to do it in. Clang! Jaw! Its bones again. Hit the ground and shatter into pieces.
Let's see if I had one
round three.
Or multiple.
Round three. You see the bones. You're all staring at them. They're not vibrating at the moment. They're not shaking.
Put the bones in the cage. Put the bones in the cage.
Yeah. They just sit there. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. And then slowly you realize that they're not moving.
Oh.
Wow. They're just sitting there.
Hmm.
And then
put
the danger subsides. The sense of imminent danger subsides. And the cage is left there with a shattered bones and a rusty old scimitar next to it.
Ow.
Are you okay?
I've been better.
You're bleeding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, this old wound?
Like Steve Martin in Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. Yeah. When he pisses at the table.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Clan is
well done.
Walk up and just start smashing the bones with the heel of his boot. Just like just smashing just the
crunching
skull
them into
like
bone dust.
Yeah.
Okay, you do that. What is everybody else doing?
Isolde, would you like a good berry?
Yes, please.
I give you a good berry.
Cool.
It's 1d6 plus 1d6 plus 4.
4.
Cool.
Brother Mordecai's going to walk over to the bodies of the goblins and just kind of solemnly put his hands on their bodies.
They're human.
I thought they were goblins.
They're human.
Oh, he spits on them.
Human corpses.
They're always lame.
I spit upon thee. For hate's sake.
No, he'll still walk over and, you know, put his
examine
hand.
A little closer.
Yeah, and really, like, there's a special... he feels really bad that it's one thing to die, it's another thing to be experimented upon, which, or whatever is happening here, defiled.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't... He finds it... Rather distasteful.
Mm-hmm. As he walks up, the things that he finds distasteful about this, just grow and worsen as you get closer, where you see in more gory detail what's happening here. As Mordecai can take in a small cushion that is sitting on the table, and there's multiple needles sticking out of it with thread coming out of the needles just hanging down, and then
put
you
a Gudberry
see,
under it.
you see one human torso that has two spider limbs threaded into the edges of the limbs. It's just a horrible sight. Somebody
cool,
has
Ed
been.
Greenwood. Cool.
Yeah. Nice job. Great. Thanks. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks.
I won't dream about that.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Somebody has been experimenting here.
I've been practicing.
It's really disgusting.
Look, I made a pigeon rat. This
is not right.
Yeah.
We knew we were in the presence of an evil wizard, but this is a different kind of evil.
It just doesn't feel right. This feels gross.
And you guys are all, you're sort of overwhelmed a little bit by just the rank smell of the bodies and the blood. And like I said, there's a bucket just filled with blood. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like drawn blood. Ugh. So it's really vile in here, and you almost gag at the smell.
So can I do a, you know, religion or arcana or something to see if this is actually necromancy or if it's just somebody dicking around?
Just a guy having fun.
It's my hobby.
Idle hands.
Sure. Yeah, you could do an occultism check. And while you're that, Brother Mordecai, this spider arm is attached to this torso is like,
oh.
And it jerks.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Jerks. Keep looking at it. Doesn't seem to do anything else.
I'll back away when I see that. Just.
Eglador is going to take out her sickle.
Grab my rancer.
And she's going to slowly just put it into the heads of each person on the table.
What does that mean, put it into the heads?
She's going to just...
I'm with her.
Like,
but I mean, like, you're slowly going to bore into their skull?
Yeah. No, in like, not in like a hateful, like stabby way, but in like a putting you out of your misery.
In like a lovingly stab your
brain. Like in a really slow, awful death kind of way.
And then stick a good berry in the hole.
Good luck.
A good berry to carry you to the other side.
She opens each mouth and puts a good berry in. Closes and makes him chew.
I left you a little treat.
Somebody's gonna find this and think that there's a Goodberry serial killer on the loose.
Yeah. And each body had goodberries in the eye sockets and the ears, every orifice.
This is some mad druid.
It's torn through the Emerald Spire.
By slow, I didn't mean slow in like a painful slow way.
Because she likes it.
No, you're making her out to be such a freak. She's trying to be kind. She saw, if she knew that these bodies could come back to life like this skeleton, mm-hmm. she's like, that's not natural. Bringing the dead, dealing with dead is the normal thing for druids. Like there's no qualms about death, but like necromancy.
Undeath.
Bad, the undeath is not good.
That ain't natural.
Maybe she doesn't do it right away. Maybe
so
she.
So you're saying she like literally puts the blade through their brain so that they can't. Okay.
So that they can't be revived, I guess. Okay. She looked before doing it though. She does look to Mordecai.
One of the torsos has no head. There's three bodies. There's no head, and there's two torsos with a head. One torso without a head.
So then she looks to Mordecai, and she instead of just doing it right away, she says, "Should I put them out of their misery or?" I don't want them to come back.
No, I understand. I'm worried that a simple stab to the brain stem won't be enough. Perhaps these spider legs are working independently of the body. It seems as if we have interrupted the work of the foul creature.
The torso shakes.
It's so wrong.
Twitches. Like all the pectoral and abdominal muscles all like clench up for a second and then release.
Maybe you should try it though.
Nothing ventured. Nothing
gained. Can I make my occultism check?
Yes. So also that takes a little longer, but
my identification thing or whatever is a +2 if it's mental possession, prediction, or scrying. But I don't know if it will be.
Okay.
That's just for your information. It's +8.
+8.
Or
okay.
+10.
So you're looking this over. This seems, this is classic necromancy and is designed. Somebody is trying to make undead creatures of, these mixed bodies. You don't see any evidence just yet of, there's no magical residue or other particular evidence of mind control. It's sort of mindless control where they just want to kind of animate bodies. And you know what I'll give you further with that check is that you believe now that you've been here for a day, you're kind of going on a day here in this thing. You believe that it's not an accident that this experimentation is happening here. You think that there is some residual effect of the spire that is powering this possible animation. but it's not happening here right now. Obviously, they're not animated. They're not attacking you. That skeleton was. But you believe that there is some intended occult magic that is supposed to happen, and whoever is doing it is trying to use the magic of the spire as a core for the energy to draw from.
It's so weird. Like, I just wonder what kind of magic this spire is made out of, or what it's emanating. Like, that it could be used this way? Like, does it have other potential applications, or is it just like a big zombie pillar?
Mm. You know? Or is it just a pool of so much residual energy that anyone who's tapped into the arcane
could channel it in any number of ways.
It could be used for good.
And then can we draw from it as well as the adventure continues?
Yeah.
Right about that. Well, we feel like we've exhausted this room here. Did you stab them?
I think she goes to do it. She can't. She doesn't want them to come back, but she doesn't understand how the magic works. Because if they don't have brains, if they're not controlled, you know, mentally, then maybe they are dead. I don't know. She feels uncomfortable.
Cleon, perhaps you should bash their heads.
Yeah, the minute she steps away, like Cleon, ching, he pulls his kukri out from behind his back and just starts hacking at their heads.
Like Lidor leaves the room.
And hacking the spider limbs off, like everything that shouldn't be there.
Okay.
Boom, he like separates it. Just jump, 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 jump. Just like a butcher. Oof. It's like pounding on all of them in sequence.
Okay. Ooh, gruesome.
Rough.
Gruesome. Okay. You guys do that. Brother Mordecai, you said what? About clearing the room?
Feel like, you know, we'll do a full search of the room and then move.
Full sweep. Okay. Give it to me. Hit me. Plus 4 for Bro Moore. Okay.
Yep.
Cleon?
7.
Oh, man, you are so, so good. Sydney?
Eglador's in the hallway. She left.
Oh,
she didn't want to watch that.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right. And
plus 5 for me.
Plus 5. Okay. Yeah, you guys continue searching the room, and you don't find anything of interest.
Okay. Then let's go check out that other doorway. This time, being much more careful, than Brother Mordecai was, and you know, checking for plates, tripwires, looking up as well as to the sides.
The door we passed in the first...
Or the door at the end of the hallway that we are currently walking back
into. Yeah, so you guys walk back down to the south, and now to the east there's a door, and then back in the original room you came in, there was one door where, I believe, Isolde listened, right? Was that Isolde who listened?
Eggie listened,
didn't hear anything. You haven't checked that door yet either. So you got two doors now.
We must cleanse every room, so I care not which one we go into.
Cleon kind of doesn't want to leave anything behind. It's bugging him. So he starts walking back to the door that we passed in the original entry hallway.
First room.
All right.
And you listened at this, I think, Eglador listened. So I keep coming. I keep tempting to call you Eggy, but I don't feel comfortable.
We're not there yet.
So, so yeah, he's just going to try to open it.
It is locked. So you try to open it, and yeah, it is locked.
Well,
and you see a hole for a key. You see a keyhole in the door.
Try to force it.
You try to force it. Go ahead.
Is that athletics?
Is athletics. Okay. Yes, a force open.
Can
check.
I aid him?
You can aid him. Yeah.
Yeah,
just push him from behind.
Yes. Let me give you a little bit of a push here on your bottom.
Hey, thanks.
I should also say. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
23.
So that is a successful aid.
No, what am I saying? 23, 13. You get a plus 10 for aiding, right?
Oh, yeah. So I got a 20 on my own, and then is that plus 2 for the aid?
I don't think so. I think it's got to be 15, but I'll double check. I think it's DC 15 to add the aid.
Oh, is that aid? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know if it matters, and I'll look it up.
I have it right here. No, DC 20.
Oh, what?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's right.
DC 20.
Wow.
I looked that up earlier, and I was like, what if I ate? And then I was like, I'm never going to
No one will ever
that.
Aid.
Yeah.
No. Right. Well, it's sort of, I think, reserved for the situations where you're not doing anything else. You might as well give it a shot.
No, I like it. I like it.
Okay.
20.
Bang. You don't move it even the slightest bit. It is, I should say, I should be more descriptive. It is a stone door in a stone wall. So this is not banded iron like wood, like the upper floor. These are stone slabs.
So I pop my shoulder back into its socket.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I should tell them this before they start slamming themselves against the door, but I'm not going to give you any damage.
It appears as if we've been stone-walled.
He's on a roll.
I like it. He's on a roll. Door's locked. Let's move on to the next one.
Yes.
Alrighty. Back down the hallway.
Looking for traps.
Back down the hallway. Looking for traps the whole way.
Everybody stop back up because we have more trap stuff happening. Uh-oh. Here.
Trap stuff.
We have trap stuff.
Oh, boy.
So just go ahead, back up. So as you were walking through the hallway, Brother Mordecai, checking for traps, which I rolled. You are plus +4, correct? Mm-hmm. That is a 12. Press. It is not enough. You're walking down this hallway. Brother Mordecai in the lead. Eglidora just behind him. Cleon just behind Eglidora and Asoli in the rear. Brother Mordecai takes a step up. He's now 15 feet from that door that you haven't seen yet. All of a sudden, the floor falls out from Brother Mordecai, and he's about to vanish below the floor level. I need a really quick and incredibly important grab an edge check. This is a reflex save, I believe, or maybe it is athletics.
Acrobatics?
It would be nice if it was athletics, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be great? I'm just choking for a second. I can't remember.
It's page 472, I think.
It's page 4. I had it right here, and now I'm blanking. It is a reaction. It's a reflex save. So it's a DC. Mm. Sorry. It is a
DC.
It is a DC reflex save.
All right. If I don't.
Can I aid at all? Like reach out to grab his hand if he doesn't?
No, not in this case. Okay. Not for the grab an edge because you can't help him grab an edge. But we'll see. Let's see.
All right.
So first it's a reflex save.
Okay. I got 3 hero points here, so let's see what happens. I'm probably going to backflip and stick to the ceiling with a natty fucking 19.
Oh, baby.
That's going to be a 25 total.
25 total.
Spider-Man on the ceiling, right?
You see that this floor drops out from underneath. Mordecai reaches out, grabs on to the edge, but he's now fallen beneath the thing, and he is hanging from the ledge. And you look down, and you see that it drops down into a pit, and you see it's loaded with spikes and some sort of like webbing. Eglidora runs up. Cleon runs up. Mordecai is hanging there, one hand. Wait, how are you doing this, by the way? What happened to your weapon? So, like, were you walking with your weapon?
I was.
Both hands.
Yeah, so I've got now the Rancer in one hand and a
Rancer in one hand, holding on with the other hand. You look down beyond him and you see the spikes below, and there seems to be a shadow down there that's moving.
Oh dear.
Cool.
Blackout.
Oh.
And we gotta go next time. We're already done.
Anarchy. Heart. Anarchy. I'm stuck to the ceiling.
Echo Quest Super Dungeon is a Glass Cannon Network production of the Emerald Spire Super Dungeon. Paizo Pathfinder and their respective logos and all Paizo titles, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo Inc. and are used with permission. The Glass Cannon Network is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Inc.